We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Here we go with hour number two of the Rob Brown Radio Program. Right here on the Fan Upstate. Great to have you, ladies and gentlemen. The great one, Lonzo. I am Rob Brown. Let's rock and roll, shall we? Jordan from GE texts the show, said, Rob probably thinks this is a Lonzo burner account. Don't worry, it's not. No, I didn't think that. As Lonzo's pointed out, I'm in the minority on this. I know that I am. And this is true, just don't care.
I can confirm he doesn't appear to care.
Not even a little bit. Texas said no one is buying barber or bug guy gear, paying for streaming services to watch them, and the players have no investment, only opportunity, scholarships, plus every medical and dietary benefit. Bug guys and barbers are not a good illustration. If you think players have no investment, you didn't play football at any level.
They also get free food. You forgot that part.
He said dietary.
Oh, did he?
Okay. Yeah. He said they have.
Dietary is a big word for me, especially lately.
If you think football players have no investment, my guy, you didn't play ball. Because I promise you, anybody who's done August two-a-days, they invested. Anybody who's been in the weight room.
It's very humid out there, trust me.
Yeah. Anybody who's been in a weight room at 6 a.m. before their 7 a.m. class to get their lift in because coach said to, they're invested. Anybody who's gone out and run stadiums in the little bit of free time that they have to make sure that their quads are ready for that off-ball explosion is invested.
Sorry, got to work on my quads, bro.
Nobody stumbles into being a D1 athlete. You don't get lucky and find yourself on a full-ride scholarship. They're invested, too. It's just that the mindset is investment means money. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It can mean time. It can mean energy. It can mean emotion. It can mean a lot of different things. If you think football players are not invested, and you say, Dexter says, I'm talking financial investment. Of course you are, because that's the only thing. That's the only thing. But it's not the only thing. These players build a brand. Remember, they're not getting paid to play football. That's not where the money comes from. They're getting paid to represent people, places, and things with the brand that they have built. A brand that you have to invest to build.
Because they play football.
And how do they become D1 football players?
Because they played football.
They are getting paid because they are a recognizable person. They are recognizable because they're football stars. I will agree.
Then why are we not getting paid? We're recognizable people.
We do. We get endorsements. That's NIL. By the letter of the definition, that is NIL. Every time that I go, hey, guys, on the stream, we'll be right back.
I must be that third string lineman then. Anyway.
Hey, listen, this is going to be the worst thing I've ever said to you. That's how the game gets played, man. The left guard at Furman ain't getting NIL deals. Right? I almost said a bad word right there for saying it. But the world is cruel and harsh sometimes. It just is. The left guard at Furman is not making NIL money. At least not that I'm aware of. Maybe they are.
He could be.
Might be.
I mean, maybe not to the degree that we're talking. But
I'll tell you right now, if I'm a local restaurant in the area, I'm 100% throwing NIL at every offensive lineman.
That left guard at Furman may be making more money than you and I combined right now. We don't know.
You might be right. But the point here, a brand they could not build without stadiums they didn't build, et cetera, et cetera. You're not wrong. It's a partnership, my dudes. It's a two-way street. But these players strap in on Saturday. Sorry, not just on Saturdays or football season. It's a year-round thing. It's a year-round thing. They invest too. But just because you own the building doesn't mean, again, You know what happens to a 77,000-person stadium if the football players all leave? It sits empty. It costs you money. It's a two-way street. All right, we got to get away from this because we got a lot more that we got to get to, and I don't mean to spend all this time on this. I suspect, though, great one, we're coming back to it. Hey, it's 7:05 in the morning. It's almost time to work. When you get to work, you're going to take a break. When you're going to take a break, you're going to talk sports. You're going to talk sports. You need this. The shortest intro ever. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this AM. Let us dive right in with our number one. A new NCAA transfer. Stop me if you've heard this before.
Sounds really familiar.
A new NCAA transfer rule will allow all undergraduate athletes to transfer and play immediately if they meet specific... Why is that word not pronounced immediately? Why is it immediately?
I think you need to move on.
If they meet... if they meet specific academic requirements, as the Division I Council on Wednesday approved emergency legislation announced by the NCAA. Now, it is not official and final. They do not go official and final until the meetings end later today. Then the rule would still need to be formally approved by the NCAA's executive board on Monday. But Heather Denich says that is a formality at this point. The rule would provide immediate eligibility to any athletes who have transferred during the 23-24 academic year, including football players who entered the transfer portal this past Tuesday and are in the portal during the window, which is open now, as long as they are academically eligible and meeting progress towards degree requirements at the new school. So basically, not only do you have to find a new school, but you also have to find a new school that takes your credits. You know who this actually has a adverse impact on? Players at schools like Liberty. Players at smaller schools who are maybe not academically credentialed, that those credits won't transfer to bigger schools.
They'll find a way around it.
We'll find out. That's
going to
be...
There'll be some sort of equivalency test to be taken or something like that.
That is a strong possibility. And I am curious to see, does this start to, and this is just me being a dork, does this start to move over into the realm of academia? Do schools start looking at transfer students and going, yeah, you know, this kid took these classes, but they took them at an unaccredited university or a university whose credits we don't accept for whatever reason, but we really want them to play here. So we came up with this new test that if you come here and you took whatever study at that old school, we are going to have you take the test for our version of that class, and if you pass it, we'll just give you the credit. I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Work for Bobby Boucher.
Remember that time the Bourbon Dogs won the... Okay. The Mud Dogs won the Boyman Bowl. That's it. I'm your daddy, Roberto. Okay, I got to stop.
Is that what some of your family looks Roberto. Like in Louisiana? I don't know. Is that typecasting? I don't know.
May I plead the fifth? So the legislation will not limit the number of times an athlete can transfer. There are still two transfer windows, and athletes may not transfer mid-year and play for a second school in the same season, but you may now transfer as many times as you like as long as you have eligibility. The Division I Council meets again today. They will finalize their acceptance of this rule, and then on Monday, the NCAA's executive board will meet. They will put the final stamp of approval on this before these rules, these regulations, go into place. We'll see what happens there. Let us go to item number two. Caitlin Clark set all the records, rewrote the college record books for women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark was drafted to the WNBA on Monday night and was drafted to the WNBA in front of a record television audience of nearly 2.5 million people, outpacing the previous record by 2 million people.
Can't prove it was just for her.
Doesn't matter who it was for. She did that.
It was no, Camila Gardosa did that. I can say it just as well as you can say it.
Then rephrase that just to make the great one happy. Maybe 2.5 million didn't tune in for Caitlin Clark, but they were tuned in when Caitlin Clark was drafted.
There we go. That's accurate.
Okay.
That's very accurate.
However, considering of all women's college basketball games, the most watched five all feature Caitlin Clark, not anybody else.
So people like losers. I mean, that's on them.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope that I am a loser too, because Caitlin Clark finalized an endorsement deal with Nike yesterday to the tune of eight figures and a signature shoe.
Rob, you're not a loser. You're a two-time champion.
Two-time. Shucky ducky, quack, quack. Non-wrestling people are like, what the hell did you just say? All right, Caitlin Clark got
no,
that.
No, wrestling fans are still saying that.
Shucky ducky, quack, quack.
He just decided to make that up. But anyway.
Caitlin Clark getting a fat stack from Nike. She will also be getting her own shoe, so you can add that to.
Did she sign with Ice, though, or with Ice Cube?
Not yet. She hasn't.
Because all those things, won't she make more money if she signs with him?
Yes, she would. And I'm glad you brought that up, because coming up in just a little while,
Rob would have already signed with it. You know, because money.
An eight figure contract? Bye.
You almost cursed.
Bye, Felicia.
You mouthed the word.
No, I didn't. I said an eight figure contract.
Everybody saw it.
Bye. I love y'all a lot, but I'm gone. And I'll tell you what. I get an $8 million contract. I'm leaving. I'll come back. I'll build the Triumph Stadium myself. All right? Caitlin getting paid. Now, this is also interesting because the salary that Caitlin Clark agreed to with the Indiana Fever dropped, 4-year deal worth $338,000. That is a $76,000 base salary as a rookie. It will move up over the 4 years, but will never reach $100,000 a season. And there's a lot of people out there that are real mad about this because.
Yeah, all those people, if you want her to get a bigger salary, watch the WNBA. You don't watch it, it doesn't make enough money for them to pay bigger salaries. That's really what it comes down to.
We are going to get to that conversation coming up in just a little while, because we got some interesting text about it already, and we haven't even gotten to the segment. So stay tuned for that, because it's coming up very shortly. Item number three. The NBA play-in tournament continued yesterday evening. We had an initial game between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. And boy, howdy, was it not short on drama. 105-104, the Sixers knock off the Heat. The 76ers are now the 7 seed in the East. They will take on the New York Knickerbockers in the first round of the NBA playoffs. The Miami Heat will wait for their fate on Friday as they play in the elimination game of the NBA's play-in tournament. 25 points for Tyler Hero, who had to take over after Jimmy Butler left the game with just 19 on 5 of 18 shooting at the end of the first quarter. Jimmy Buckets collapsed down to the ground. He came back up holding his knee. He did stay in the game, but he scored only 12 more points, and there was very clearly something jacked up about him. It is feared that playoff Jimmy has an MCL injury. He will be going for evaluation today, catching that MRI this afternoon to determine if he will be able to play on Friday when the Miami Heat take on the Chicago Bulls in the elimination game. For the 76ers, 23 out of Joel Embiid led all scorers on the 76ers team. Tobias Harris had 9. Kyle Lowry had 7. My dog, Tyrese Maxey. I love this guy's game, man. Hatin' Ass Mario yesterday told us on the show, hey, keep an eye on this guy because I think he's an X factor. Last night, he was just 1 of 6 from three, but 6 of 16 from the floor with 6 assists to go with 19 points. Kelly Oubre Jr. had a couple of clutch field goals down the stretch. This game was a game to the dying gasp of it. The 76ers also got 20 points, a legacy game from Nick Batum, who went 7 of 12, including 6 of 10 and 5 boards off the bench. 20 points chipped in by Batum. The 76ers again move on to take on the Knicks. The Heat go to the elimination game, and in said elimination game, they will take on the Chicago Bulls, because last night the Bulls ended the season of the Atlanta Hawks 131-116, your final in that one. You had 30 from Murray, 21 from Bogdanovich, 22 from Young, 22 from Capella, and the rest of the team as a whole got 21 combined points for the Atlanta Hawks. They shot 29% from deep, 45% from the floor, but the 42 points of Kobe White was what Miami needed. They got 22 from DeMar DeRozan. They got 24 from Vucevic. They got 19 from Dosunmu. This Bulls team looked like a playoff team. The problem, 18 combined bench points. Whenever Chicago went to the bench, that was when Atlanta was able to have their starters start to chip away at the total. We're going to talk more about these games later on, but the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat set to match up Friday night. The winner will be the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs to take on the Boston Celtics in round one tonight. Sacramento, New Orleans, no Zion Williamson. That means the two teams that would be favored in the play-in elimination games both missing their superstars, as Zion is out for the Pelicans, and it looks like maybe potentially Jimmy Buckets could be out for the Miami Heat. How much of an impact does that make? What terrible timing for New Orleans and Miami. We will talk about those games later on in the radio broadcast. Let's talk about this Caitlin Clark thing when we come back, because a lot of people are up in their feels about it. And you know me, Liberob the Woke Warrior is going to take the side that's going to get the rest of his Liberob-loving friends a little bit heated. We'll talk about that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So we talked about this a little bit in the water cooler cheat sheet. Caitlin Clark's rookie salary numbers were released. She signed a 4-year deal with the Indiana Fever, who drafted her number one overall, and perhaps, I think definitely, the most anticipated and talent-stacked WNBA draft in the history of the league. The deal is worth $338,056 over the course of 4 years. In her rookie year, she will earn $76,535. She is projected to earn an annual salary of $97,582 by the end of the 4-year contract if she doesn't sign an extension. There's no world in which, unless she just hates it in Indianapolis, Indiana, that Caitlin Clark's not going to get a pay raise at some point. But even with a pay raise, it would be about $100,000 or more, but in that ballpark. Unsurprisingly, a ton of fans got really, really mad about it. Pointed out that she makes fractions of the male counterpoints in the NBA. For instance, Victor Wembanyama, the first pick in last year's NBA draft, a 4-year contract with the Spurs worth $55 million, including $12 million plus in his first season. Yahoo Sports went and compiled a bunch of tweets that people sent in response to the contract that Caitlin Clark signed. Like, for instance, Los Texas Diablo, who said, quote, "This is bogus. They have made more headlines than any man that is currently playing. Pay women what they deserve." At Chonky Cleric, which is a great name, said...
Did you say Chonky or Chonky?
Chonky. Huh? It's a big chonky boy.
Okay. All right.
Statistically...
So like a fat friar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I immediately went like a fat monk. Statistically, the greatest college...
Alliteration. I'm sorry.
I like
which
it.
Is better.
Yeah. The statistically greatest college basketball player in history is getting paid a 5-digit salary in a professional sports league. Ridiculous. At Justine Bianca said, "I can't believe these numbers are real. They're literally robbing these girls." End quote. At Los Pollos TV said, "This is so bad, she'll probably make 50 times this in endorsements." Well, it turns out she did, because Nike signed her to an endorsement in which they will be releasing the Caitlin Clark signature shoe, which you better believe your boy's buying a pair of, ain't no doubt, which is a deal that is expected to be 8 figures.
Nothing says second place like the Caitlin Clark shoe.
Nothing says goat like the goat shoes. So, let's kind of evaluate this.
By the way, the average salary in the WNBA is $147,745. That is the average salary. The highest paid, according to the internet, is Arike, I can't say her last name, and Kaylee Cooper and Jewel Lloyd. They make $241,984.
Yep. And Caitlin Clark, within 2 years, is going to sign a contract that's going to put her in that mix. There are questions about Caitlin Clark's game translating to the next level. It's a much more physical style of basketball. Will she be able to survive
in that
environment?
Were these vocal people that are complaining, were they complaining last year or the year before that?
People don't tend to complain about things that aren't on their radar, which is exactly the point. The investment value of the WNBA as a league is $475 million. Most every NBA team individually is worth twice that amount.
I was going to say, that's the entire league. Okay.
It is, the entire league is worth less than $500 million. NBA franchises is individual teams are valued at more than that. Now, I will be very clear. I absolutely think Caitlin Clark is worth more than $100,000 a year just in putting her face on your stadium alone. As we know, the Indiana Fever sold out their tickets before Caitlin Clark even got drafted. Those people took a gamble that Indiana wasn't going to pull the shock of shocks of the century of the millennium and draft somebody else at number one.
That would have been shocking if they
did. It would have absolutely been a shock. We also know that the most sought after tickets in the WNBA for every team are the games where the Indiana Fever are coming to town. Caitlin Clark is absolutely worth more than $100,000 a year. That's why Nike's not dumb. They're not paying her 8 figures worth of endorsement deal just because she had a great college career. They know the value of this young lady and the branding that comes with her name, her image, and her likeness. I'll throw the snark aside for a moment.
By the way, minimum salary in the NBA is $1.1 million.
Correct. Correct. And I also have to add, and this is the part that I have aggravated some of my friends with here, every year, the NBA gives the WNBA about $16.5 million just to cover the expenses of the league, because historically, the league has been unable to cover their own expenses and up the annual salary of players.
So they're unprofitable.
Effectively. Now, I am also going to call the shot here. This year, the WNBA will be profitable. And it has a lot to do with Caitlin Clark. It also has to do with Cameron Brink and Angel Reese and Rickia Jackson and all of these. I think the best draft class in the history of the WNBA moving up.
Cardoso. You,
Camila Cardoso.
You forgot, the champ. Yeah, that's okay.
The point here is, I think it's going to be a profitable year this year for the WNBA, as it was a profitable year for women's college basketball, a sport that outdrew the men's college national championship game by 4+ million viewers.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong, and you will, but it seemed like sports were up viewership-wise across the board. Because it seems like everything was, this was bigger than last year, this was bigger than last year for every sport in 2023.
Everything except golf. Golf's Masters rating were at its lowest since COVID. And we'll talk about that later in the show. But yes, you are correct. NBA attendance went up by 2% in person this year. I think some of that has to do, without a doubt, with the sit-out rules. Got to play X amount of games to be eligible for individual awards. Baseball attendance has been rising. I absolutely think the pitch clock has something to do with that. As bad as it might be for pitchers, it is good for baseball, the bigger bases, helping with more offense, etc. Yes, numbers are up across the board, but there is a difference between basketball, NBA, going up 1.8% in attendance, and the women's game outdrawing the men's by 4-point-some-odd million viewers. That's not 1% growth. That's like 1,000. That is exponential growth. And again, I'm not saying it is solely because of Caitlin Clark, but you better believe she is the face of the movement. She's not alone. There are the Camilla Cardosos and the Angel Reeses and the Cameron Brinks and the Paige Beckers and all these other players, but Caitlin Clark was the face of it. That's not a debate I'm willing to have. That's just a fact. That's just true. So yes, I do believe these women should be getting paid more. But I also understand that, and this is the part that a lot of people aren't comprehending, you gotta be making the money to get them. I can't pay you money I ain't got. Now, the argument's gonna be that the owners are still making money, the coaches are still making money, they're still making money, and the players are making
$100K. I mean, you just mentioned that the NBA has to help them out in order to stay afloat. So are those teams actually making money? Are those owners actually making money? If they are, they're probably making money elsewhere in business.
Becky Hammons is a head coach in the WA. Her salary is up over $1 million a year. Yes. The money is coming from somewhere. And again, I think that over the past handful of years, women's basketball, women's sports as a whole, have been gaining in popularity.
Where is the outrage that a coach is making more than the players? How can this be?
In fairness, it's Becky Hammons.
I know, but still, I would say that Caitlin, that's her name, is a bigger name than Becky Hammons.
You're probably not wrong. But again, Caitlin Clark is going to have to prove herself all over again, as is Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso and Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson and all these great players that are on their way up. They will all have to prove themselves at the next level. And I'm going to go ahead and call the shot. Caitlin Clark's going to be the first WNBA player to sign $1 million salary. It's going to happen. Because there's not a world in which her game doesn't translate to the WNBA. You make it translate.
But there is a world where people forget about her after 6 months and the WNBA plods along like it is right now.
We'll find out.
Which wouldn't be her fault. It's the product as a whole.
You are correct. But again, the Fever sold out tickets before she was on that team. Never happened. The most profitable WNBA ticket right now, Indiana Fever at Chicago Sky. Camilla Cardoso and Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. If that game's on, that game will be primetime television. That game will be placed in a crown jewel of the week spot. That doesn't happen. It's going to happen this year. So there's going to be a balance. Both sides of this argument have to be in tandem. On one hand, the folks who want Caitlin Clark to get paid $1 million a year for playing in the WNBA do have to recognize that part of that is her doing what she did for women's college ball, which is establishing and developing and pushing the popularity and the productivity so that more people are coming to games, watching it on TV, etc. I promise you, if the Indiana Fever go on TV and play the Chicago Sky and they get a 4.8, hell, forget that, let's go with the college number, 19.2 million person audience, yeah, advertisers are going to want in on that. And then there's more money and now the salaries can go up. On the flip side, the other side of the equation is people that are going, oh, you know, the money is what the money is, have to recognize Caitlin Clark's value is not just as a basketball player, it's as a celebrity.
By the way, I heard like the very first game that she's playing in, it's going to be on ESPN2. So until you can at least get on the main channel, you're still going to have the same problems you're having right now.
I will make a bet with you that gets moved to one. I'd make that bet.
We'll have to see what it's up against.
I don't think it's going to matter. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We got plenty more to get to on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo on the ones and twos today. Where haven't we been? We've talked about how the dad from Dirty Dancing was the only good guy in the movie. Same with King Triton in The Little Mermaid. We're really hitting all the top issues today. Really getting in on the big stuff. I will say this. Like or dislike, call her consolation, Caitlin, or don't. 75K does feel kind of silly, right? Like, there are multiple people in this building who make more money than Caitlin Clark.
I, by the way, seriously doubt that. And the other thing is...
That there's more people in this building who make more than Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, I seriously doubt that. There might be one. There might be one, and that's about it.
Either way, it's Caitlin Clark.
Of course, you have a bigger salary than mine, and comparatively, you can probably look at it. But
I'm obviously in the Caitlin Clark department.
I mean, look at what you're wearing, dude.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I can't afford that. The thing is, she's the number one pick. How much did the second pick make?
I'm gonna guess Camila Cardoso is probably gonna be in the range of 65 annually, 70 annually.
So she made less. So the number one pick made the number one salary that she could be paid. During current economic trends,
Cardoso is going to make an estimated $73,000 on a 4-year deal annually.
So a little bit less.
Yeah, slightly less. All right, we'll get away from that. I just thought it was an interesting conversation because nuance matters. You know where nuance does not matter? Nuance does not matter. When a league says, you don't go to this school no more, Toronto Raptors, or should I say former Toronto Raptors player Jonte Porter, has caught a ban for life from the National Basketball Association. There was no big investigation into this. DraftKings just pretty much put it out there, and the NBA looked and went, oh, yeah, no, you can't do that. Porter had multiple prop bets on games in which he left early with injuries or an illness and hit the under in those games, played long enough for his stats to register as a live bet, and then checked himself out. He is gone from the NBA. That one is up. That one is over. Let's be clear. I understand that there are a lot of people. In fact, there was a joke yesterday going around because Shams dropped the bomb, dropped the Woj bomb. How bad you got to feel if you're Shams and you're dropping Woj bombs? Anyway, Shams dropped the bomb, the Jonte Porter caught a lifetime ban. Shams Charina, who, by the way, is a spokesperson for DraftKings, for the gambling outlet that got Jonte Porter banned for life.
I think that looks great on that company, that they're willing to say, hey, we won't allow this because that puts standards above company. And I think it's a good look on them.
The NBA says, yep, you don't go to this school no more, Jonte Porter. And here's the reality. Yeah.
Can he play in Europe?
I'm going to say if he's not playing for an NBA team, sure. But if the NBA...
They just banned him for life. So, I mean...
From the league.
I'm just curious because of associations between the European League and the NBA, would the European uphold the ban?
Right now, there is no European League that has a direct affiliation with the NBA. There's going to be. That's an NBA project coming forward.
They are a pipeline. So they've gotten, I mean, they have to have a working relationship.
I don't necessarily know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just curious if they're willing to take someone like that that's banned by the NBA.
And also, there's a ton of leagues in Europe. It's not like one league in Europe. There's Spanish leagues, French leagues, German leagues,
European
leagues.
Well, he could probably play
leagues.
In Belarus because we already know
stupid
about those people.
Belarus.
Yeah.
By the way, the Belarusian people, lovely. It's just their leadership that I question, all right? Lovely people, the Belarusians.
Power to the people.
Yeah.
Go Belarus.
When the revolution happens in Belarus, Robin Lanza's faces should be on the flags of liberty. Okay? We're committed to this. So, Jontay Porter catches the lifetime ban. For those of you that have said, you know, Rob, I'm kind of uncomfortable with the rise of sports gambling in popularity across these great United States. Well, the first response I've always had is, mind your business.
I am concerned with the possibility of stuff like this. I mean, if everything's on the up and up, fine. I mean, you're an adult, do whatever. But when you start doing stuff like this, then it makes people who are already suspicious even more suspicious, and it hurts the game, whatever game it is.
I'll tell you when I get worried. When I start getting worried is when this happens and guys catch a suspension. Calvin Ridley, I'm not yes, it's bad. Calvin Ridley bet on NFL football. He's an NFL player. You can't do that. Calvin Ridley was not in the league when this happened. Remember, he was nursing an injury. He was in rehab. He was away from the team. Like, yeah, you can't do it, but at the same time, it's not as bad as Jontay Porter. Jontay Porter got cut, got caught, made some dumb decisions, and now he is banished from the NBA for it. You can gamble all you want now, Jontay Porter. Have a ball. I hope you're real good at it because you could have made millions of dollars just playing NBA basketball. And now you're going to be throwing $10 bets around on DraftKings trying to make that money up. It's not going to go great. I wish you the best of luck. This to me is the NBA's acknowledgement. And I think, to some degree, a shot across the bow of all the rest of the leagues going, this is a big deal. This must be taken seriously. It is not an option. You have to treat this as the big deal that it is. And I ultimately think you've to some degree done that here. You have effectively shown that this is not going to be something that is going to be overlooked. This is not something that is going to be tolerated. This is not something that we're going to give you the old freebie oopsie-daisy on. This is a big deal. This is a problem. This is something that leagues are going to have to address and handle moving forward. I think they know that. I don't think it's going to come as a shock or a surprise to anybody, frankly. And I think that this is the only way to handle it at this point. This, to me, is the definition of the system working. This, to me, is a league going, yeah, no, dude, that's not, we can't allow this to happen. We can't allow this to be something that takes place. If you are apprehensive about the rise in popularity of gambling, I, for the record, understand it. I get it. I disagree with it, but I get it. It makes sense. That being said, like I said, this is the system working by definition. This is the system recognizing that there is a problem, recognizing that there is an issue, immediately taking steps to limit the issue and to remove a guy who categorically, undeniably broke the rules and create a system of punishment, of discipline that works. That's what this is. That's what this was. And I'm very glad that it played out the way that it did, because the only way that you are going to keep this issue from propagating further down the line, the only way you're going to keep this issue from propagating further down the line is if you handle it with the banhammer. is if you handle it by saying, this isn't an option. This isn't a ha-ha funny moment. This isn't something that we will even pretend to be okay with. You gotta go. I think the NBA, and by the way, congrats to the NBA for handling this the way that it needed to be handled. Because you've just set precedent. It would have been real, real bad if you went, all right, 1 year suspension for this guy. 1 year suspension for this cat, and then he can come back. No, no. You're done, bro. You can't make any more money. You can't utilize the NBA in your own branding and imaging, right? Like this guy, I would assume this dude isn't going to be able to go around Toronto, Canada, or wherever else and go, hey, come on down to Jacques Used Cars and come see former NBA player Jonte Porter. I don't think he can do that. Certainly can't do it in the city of the team that invested in him, developed him as a player, and then he just leaves.
But he can book a autograph shows with his buddy Pete Rose.
Sure he can. Sure he can. I mean, listen, that's not to say Jonte Porter can't do a book deal. Jonte Porter can't do a tell-all. Jonte Porter can't do whatever. But none of that is going to match up. And for the record, I'm going to go ahead and call the shot. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. I'll write it down on the tablet of truth and save it for a sunny day when it happens. Jonte Porter is going to end up with an endorsement deal with a gambling company. And I know which one it's going to be. I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to get in trouble for disparaging the good name of this book. He's going to get an endorsement. Somebody's going to hire him to come be the spokesperson. We love gambling so much, we'll give up an NBA career for it. Yuck. It's going to happen. But.
Come on down to Johnny's gambling house. Jonte's here.
Porter's Casino and Bar. He's going to get a deal. It's not going to pay what the NBA salary would have paid. As Lonzo pointed out, minimum salary in the NBA is over $1 million a season. He ain't getting that. So, I congratulate the NBA because they looked at a very serious situation. They did their investigation. They reached their conclusion quickly. They provided their evidence thoroughly. And then they said, yeah, no, we're not doing this. Because I will tell you, I agree with Lonzo. For me on both ends, number one, I don't want the ethics of the leagues. I don't want the integrity of the sports that we watch to be questioned. I don't want every time a wide receiver runs a cross pattern, gets hit in the hands and drops on the turf to have to go, did he bet the under on his prop today? Did he bet the under on his receiving prop or his catches prop? Did he bet the under on his team total? And that's why he's out there putting balls on the turf. What I want to be able to say is if he is, he is going to sacrifice his career for what? A bet on the under? Because the books, they understand DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. They all understand that the best thing in the world for them is a positive relationship with the leagues. The last thing they need is for those leagues to start going, you can't use us for profit.
I guess I don't get, because I've never even seen that kind of money. When you have that kind of money, why are you betting? Is it the thrill of the betting? Or when you could just take that money that you have and invest it somewhere and in a way that you can make money that way?
I mean,
is it just about the thrill of the bet?
No. In the case of Jonte Porter, where he's betting on his own numbers, it's kind of like insider trading. I know I'm hitting the under because what I'm going to do is I know I've got to play X amount of minutes for my action to go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there. I'm going to play for the 12 minutes I have to play to log a stat, and then I'm going to get sick.
But what is the why? Why do you do that when you're already making good money? Why do you do that? Do you not have enough money? Or is it just about the thrill of doing something and not getting caught?
Great one. You and I both know billionaires ain't billionaires because they like to have fun. Billionaires are billionaires because there's never enough money.
Yeah, but do they take that risk that could remove their way of making money? Maybe some do, but I think for the most part, those guys are smart enough to go, okay, that's too risky.
I don't think it's smart enough to go to that's risky. I think it's smart enough to not get caught. What Jontay Porter did was dumb as hell. Was dumb as hell to handle his business the way he handled it. I think it's just a matter of if I know that I can throw down a $500 bet on my under and then I'm the one that sets the under. Yeah, no, that's free money, even if it's only a little or a lot.
I was going to say, but that's $500. And if you're making like $10 million a year, what is $500?
Well, for the record, I don't know that his bets were $500. But if you have $1 million and then you can go out there and you can make $250,000, right? That's big money.
And if you do that multiple times, then you've, yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I just think it's more about the thrill than about the need of more money.
To some people it might be, but listen, there's no thrill in over-unders 12, I'm going to go score 11 and check out. That's not thrill. That's money-making. It's a thrill if you're in the NBA and you say, I'm going to bet LeBron to score 23.5 against Denver in the first game. That's a thrill. I got no impact on that game. I can't control if LeBron do or don't. I can control if my over-under hits, and that's what this guy did, and that's why he got canned. I congratulate the NBA for taking that step, for deciding the ban hammer on offense number one is the way to go. As a gambler, so that my thing doesn't go away. Sports flash!
Let's talk some baseball. The Atlanta Braves finished off a sweep of the Houston Astros yesterday with a 5-4 win in extra innings. The Braves notched two in the eighth after a throw-in error scored Michael Harris the second. The win moves Atlanta to 12-5 on the year and drops Houston to just 6-14. A new NCAA transfer rule will allow all undergraduate students to transfer and play immediately if they meet specific academic requirements. The decision needs to be finalized today and approved by the executive board Monday, but that is expected to be a formality. The new legislation will not limit the number of times an athlete can transfer, though they will be prevented from transferring mid-season. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and of course, a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.